Today on Dog Pound Report, we get exclusive access to the players as they get out in the sun. Hear what the veterans have to say about coordinators John DeFilippo and Jim O'Neill. We'll talk about the heavy Pac-12 draft class and debate the depth chart. Stay right here for the most exclusive access to Browns news and information only on Dog Pound Report.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin, and my teammate on Sundays every Sunday is Nathan Zagur. It's great to be with you on this Happy Mother's Day.
Always a pleasure. Yes, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And, Andy, it's also a happy time in Berea right now. The veterans are back for Phase 2 of the offseason program. The rookies are all in there, the ones who were drafted, the ones trying out with rookie minicamp taking place just the past couple of days.
Nathan, again, people think rookie minicamp, that's what the big slogan is for the group, but so much more than that going on in Berea.
Well, it is. You have the rookies who are here that were drafted. You have undrafted free agent rookies who are signed. You have rookies getting tryouts. You also have guys who played a little bit last year like Connor Shaw, Jacoby McDaniel, Calvin Barnett. They get to be there. Veterans who want to get a tryout can also be a part of this rookie minicamp like Anthony Armstrong, the receiver, was last year. But the veterans of the team are here to get on the practice field finally. No helmets, but they're out there for Phase 2 of the offseason program.
Great way to get some energy going in the offseason when it comes to a little Browns football. And our first trending topic, like Nathan said, the veterans have returned to Berea to get to the practice field and get an early jump on the 2015 season. And we had the opportunity to talk to a couple players who are definitely ready to get things going.
Cliff's been awesome. He's a super detailed man. And like I said, I think in the NFL, as an offense, if you're not super detailed, it's hard to be successful. So, you know, it's right on par with what we're used to. And, you know, we're rapid pace and he's up tempo and that's what he wants. And I think we're going to catch a lot of people off guard.
I love working for Flip. You know, for me, he's a guy that communicates really well. He is one of the main reasons why I wanted to come here.
It's nice to have the staff back and have everyone intact and, you know, just have guys that you're familiar with.
I'm very excited to, you know, the second year in the system. I'm a lot more comfortable being around the guys and being around the system. And we're looking to do better and build upon the previous year. So I'm very excited.
All right, let's talk about this as far as the coordinators go. And you've got one new coordinator, and you've got a guy coming back for a second season. But even think about the fact that these guys really didn't have this opportunity last year when you're working with new coordinators.
No, it's a great thing for John DeFilippo to be able to come in here. He has some continuity with Andy Moeller, George DeLeon is the offensive line coach, Brian Angelico, tight ends coach, and Wilbert Montgomery, running back coach, all still here. But he has an opportunity to put in his system. And talking to the players, they're very excited about it. You heard communication, up-tempo, and very detail-oriented. But the thing they didn't say that I've been told talking to people around the building is that they feel this offense suits the skills of these players much better than the offense a year ago did.
All right, in particular, Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel, people are very happy with what they're seeing from him. He's been described to me as a completely different guy from veterans to young players to coaches to people around the league that I've talked to about it. Johnny Manziel seems to be a different guy in his return to Berea, which is good because if this offense can get moving, running the football, set up those bootlegs on play action, Johnny Manziel can be very effective in this offense.
All right, so if you're John DeFilippo and you know Johnny Manziel is going to be one of the guys that's going to be gunning for that starting quarterback spot, to know that some of the veterans who may have thought that they weren't on the same page, now you're embracing all that and you've got a great synergy going on in Berea when you're trying to get this offense moving.
It's huge, but it's step one for Johnny. He's got to continue to show, but in terms of what he could do thus far, he's doing everything the right way. That's why Josh McCown still is the favorite to enter training camp as a starter, as Mike Pettine said this past week. But Johnny Manziel, I think, is starting to turn the corner, and if he can continue to do this, he's got all offseason to prove it, we could have a nice little battle come training camp.
All right, how about Jim O'Neill? You got some good veterans coming in on defense this year, and of course the draft was very healthy for defense.
So this defense last year couldn't stop the run, but they were great against the pass. And so what do? You bring in Randy Starks, you bring in Danny Shelton, you bring in Xavier Cooper. You got some great veterans in free agency. They draft 7 defensive players. He's got a lot of toys. He's fired up. And as you heard Pierre Desir say, one of my favorites, along with Billy Wynn there, this is the second year in the system for a lot of these guys. And as Jim O'Neill described to me, they can get to graduate level stuff now. And he expects this defense to have a quick start and get to the next level in 2015.
All right, let's head on to our next trending topic. Besides the veterans, the week saw drafted rookies and about 60 guys try out in the building this week. And the one thing that I noticed last year right away from Mike Pettine is that these guys get the opportunity, and if you're a veteran or not a veteran or a guy who's trying to make this team, the opportunity is there for you if you can play like a Brown.
That's no question, and that's what it's about, driving competition. That's been one of the tenets of Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine's tenure here with Cleveland. And this rookie minicamp is the first time you get to see these guys work with the coaches on the football field, wearing helmets, they're wearing their shells, they're going to go through drills. And last year, that's when Taylor Gabriel stood out, Robert Nelson stood out. You knew Isaiah Crowell was going to be able to tote the mail. And that's how Taylor Gabriel and Robert Nelson, guys who are just invitees, tryout guys, got an opportunity to get to training camp, ultimately ended up making the 53. That's what these guys are here to do. The rookies who are drafted, they're here to show the coaches, hey, when we get into the OTAs, get me in there and get me some reps with the veterans. The other guys are trying to say, hey, we deserve a shot to maybe get to training camp and have a chance to make this 53-man roster.
All right, let's talk about our last trending topic. And the Browns went on to sign four undrafted free agents this week. And you're talking about offensive lineman Tyler Luce, Darian Miller, defensive back Deontay Saunders, and defensive lineman Dylan Wynn. Any of these guys got a shot?
Two of them stand out to me. Tyler Luce was at Northern Illinois where they won the MAC last year. All MAC 2013-2014 as a left tackle on a line that gave up only 11 sacks all season last year. He was the critical pass protector there. So I think he's somebody who's battled injuries. If he can stay healthy, maybe he can push for a spot. And then Deontay Saunders, the defensive back, played at Florida for 2 years, started 16 to 20 games there as a safety. They say he can lay the lumber, moved to cornerback, had some off-the-field stuff, ended up at a smaller school down there, and now he has an opportunity as an undrafted, much like Isaiah Crowell, who started in the SEC, went to a small school because of off-the-field stuff, to come in and earn his way into the NFL.
But what makes you jump off the page compared to a guy who got drafted? I mean, it's not easy, especially when you've got scouts out there that are looking and saying, this is my guy, let's take a look at this guy. Let's make sure we draft him. You draft him. There's a commitment there. What makes an undrafted guy jump off the page like the Crow?
It's a guy who has talent. Isaiah Crowell, if he didn't have the issues that he had off the field, would have been drafted. So this is where you take a shot with no risk on a guy who's got a lot of talent. Say, hey, you've gone from the SEC down to a place like Tennessee State. Can you now, you've been humbled. Are you ready to come, be mature, grow up, and be a contributor in the National Football League? So you give them that opportunity.
Well, they got the shot. Let's see what they can do it. Stay with us, Dog Pound. Don't touch that dial. Dog Pound Report will return right after this.
After the break, we talk to Yogi Roth, former USC assistant coach and current Pac-12 analyst, about the Browns drafting seven players from the Pac-12.